From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Senator Barack Obama won a big victory in North Carolina last night. He was ahead by 14 points, with 93% of the vote counted. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
Barack Obama ended last night with more delegates and popular votes than Senator Clinton. A visibly relieved Obama stood before supporters in Raleigh, North Carolina last night and assured them that his nomination was close at hand.
Tonight, we stand less than 200 delegates away from securing the Democratic nomination for President of the United States.
Obama had weathered the worst 2 months of his campaign. He'd been damaged by the comments of his former pastor and by his own comments about bitter small-town voters. But last night's results show that hasn't prevented him from winning Democratic primaries or in winning the votes of superdelegates. And today, his campaign expects more superdelegates will be announcing their support for Obama. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
Rival Hillary Clinton, meanwhile, was not deterred. Her narrow Indiana win gave her hope.
I'm going to work my heart out in West Virginia and Kentucky this month, and I intend to win them in November in the general election.
Clinton told supporters it's full speed ahead to the White House. Obama, however, is closest to winning the majority of pledged delegates. He is fewer than 200 away from the number needed, but with the race so close, superdelegates are likely to play a pivotal role in deciding the winner of the Democratic presidential nomination. It's estimated that 1 million people in Myanmar are homeless after a devastating cyclone on Saturday. The death toll has topped 22,000, with more than 40,000 missing. UN officials have declared the Myanmar Delta a major disaster. They say some aid is starting to reach people in and around the largest city, Yangon, but getting visas for aid workers to go into the country has been a problem. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The World Food Program's regional director in Asia, Tony Banbury, says his UN agency has started to deliver stockpiles of rice it had in Myanmar, and he said the government has agreed to let WFP fly in some emergency food supplies.
The government is overwhelmed by the scale of this disaster, and it took them time to realize how much devastation there was. They are reacting. They've agreed to give us some visas. They've agreed to let us bring food in, and we do see signs of important cooperation.
But some UN workers are still waiting for visas to go to Myanmar to help. A U.S. disaster assistance response team is also standing by in neighboring Thailand. President Bush, an outspoken critic of Myanmar's military rulers, said he would offer U.S. naval assets if the American experts can get in. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Oil prices held steady in Asian trading today. U.S. light crude for June delivery fell by 7 cents to $121.77 a barrel in electronic trading. This is NPR News. Israel today observes Memorial Day for fallen soldiers and victims of terrorism. Tonight, celebrations for the country's 60th anniversary get underway. NPR's Linda Grantstein reports.
Israelis stopped their cars and stood in silence to remember the more than 22,000 soldiers killed since 1948. Memorial ceremonies were held at military cemeteries around Israel. Speaking at the official ceremony in Jerusalem, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert addressed the bereaved families directly, saying, quote, "We will always hold in our hearts a debt of honor to your children. All places of entertainment are closed until dusk, and flags fly at half-staff. After dark, the mood will change dramatically, and celebrations of Israel's 60th anniversary will begin with music and fireworks. Police are on high alert for possible terrorist attacks." Linda Gradstein, NPR News, Jerusalem.
It wasn't long ago that ethanol, made from corn, was seen as the way to energy independence and a green fuel that would help take the country away from climate-changing fossil energy. Democrats and Republicans cheered its benefits as Congress directed a five-fold increase in ethanol use as a motor fuel. President Bush called it key to his strategy to cut gasoline use by 20% by 2010. But now that has changed. With skyrocketing food costs and hunger spreading across the globe, there are second thoughts. And there is talk of asking the government to cut this year's mandate for 9 billion gallons of corn ethanol in a bid to ease food costs. The dramatic reversal has stunned producers and its supporters in the nation's capital. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.